Not live, but recorded for YouTube, coming to you from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. It's the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Let's see. I'm really hungover, so I'm going to try and remember everything. This is episode 78. Yay! And before I introduce our Jennifer Diamond is here again, y'all. This is her third appearance. And her fiance, Mike, and I can't remember your damn last name.
Lind.
And then, of course, Kathy St. George is back. And Dennis
Olsen.
I love
the bunny skull.
And Sammy Junio. And Jennifer's lovely daughter, Dior, is out there eating a big old fruit salad, but she didn't want to come into the studio with us. And hi to Zach Herndon in Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, Zach, thank you for putting up everything on my website, because I still don't know how to do it. And y'all check out BobTheSurlyComic.com. There's some of my latest shows on there. And let's see what else. Speaking only for myself, I do not endorse Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they are crooks, and I will say it over and over again until the day I die. Nor Tower Urology Billing Department, because they're crooks too. And I have some. I'm going to be bringing that letter in that y'all sent me. Are you going tomorrow? I'm going to come with you with a letter from the collection agency. I'm not embarrassed to say, and I've got my Visa thing that shows I paid anyway.
Oh, that's
going
to be a nice mammogram then.
No, listen. Make sure that they take your insurance. I gave them my friggin' insurance card. I'll do it for you. They took my insurance card, right? And they had all of it printed out already. So I go in, and the Dr. Ng was great. And, you know, fortunately, everything was fine for the most part for my age and all that stuff. I'm in and out of there in 30 minutes. So I go out, and they go, that'll be $455. And I started laughing. I'm like, you're kidding, right? And they're like, no. And on top of that, she just wrote it on a piece of legal paper. You know, like she goes 455 in circles and goes, that's how much you owe. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? And I go, that's outrageous. I'm not paying it. So that's where we stand. Half of it and blah, blah, blah.
You have to argue because they did the same thing.
Well, that's what's going on now is that I've paid it, I said, I'm not trying to get it free. But I said, first of all, you did not tell me that I'm not part of your network. Excuse me.
What's your insurance?
Blue Shield.
And, me too.
Well, you better double check. Anyway, enough about that. That's tired. We're not going to waste all of our time talking about my wiener.
Oh, well, do they flatten it just like they do our boobs?
No.
Damn.
But if
it.
I keep That's gaining weight, you know. I've been out of work since, you know, the bartending since March, and I put on about 15 pounds, so my boobs are coming back. Mm-mm. Paul Whitlick, y'all, can you see my shirt? Thank you, Leslie Catwoman, for this kick-ass shirt she gave me for my birthday with Dorothy pins on it from the Golden Girls. And let's see what else. I don't have any shows coming up. Jennifer Diamond is back, and Mike from Fort Lauderdale visiting. They are such continental bon vivants all over the country, and it's good to see them. Mike was telling us that he witnessed a horrible, not a joking note at all, but he witnessed a terrible situation in Plantation with a gas leak in a shopping center.
Yeah, it blew up right in front of me.
Seriously, and we were just talking because that the horrible thing here in Los Angeles in the residential home. Exploded. Same thing. And the guy from the gas company lost his life, unfortunately. And 18 people were hurt. And three surrounding houses. The house, of course, is gone. But the three houses were red tagged. And then like 10 houses on the street were yellow tagged and all that. So gas is nothing to mess with.
I've left my gas on accidentally because I go past my stove on the way out the door and a bag hit it. And it was on for 2 hours, and I could smell it in the hall when I got home.
Oh, good Lord.
And it was gone for 2 hours. Now I have all of them taped.
What were you doing? Were you, like, walking toward it? Were you in your car?
Well, actually, so we started another company in Florida, which is actually Jennifer's company. So I was helped setting up this company, and I was running to get a part for one of the crews. And so the funny thing is you know, I wasn't even supposed to be there. You know, I play poker, and we were supposed to be in
professionally.
Vegas. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And but we were got behind on the project, so I stayed to, you know, make the customer happy. So it was just funny. Something went wrong with the rig, and you know how people put you in a place, you know, for reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't supposed to be there, but I ended up in this parking lot because I was going to get a part. My phone wasn't working. I was trying to Google this place. I pull into the shopping center right there on University Drive in Plantation, and I'm looking at my phone, and all of a sudden, ba-boom, shook my Denali, scared the living crap out of me. I look up, And it just, there was, it was a big cloud of smoke going up in the air. And the first thing I did, I used to be a firefighter for the U.S. Forest Service, so my firefighting instinct kicked in. That's correct, yeah.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, so I dialed 911. I told 911, I told them my name. I said, this is where I'm at. I said, you better send everything you got. My second phone call was to Jennifer. I said, hey, a building just blew up, and I hung the phone up. She started freaking
out. Oh, I'm sure that, you know, bye. Yeah. What?
She started freaking out, started calling. I wasn't answering. Finally, I got her on FaceTime. I was showing her. She was like, you get out of there, please. Get out of there. I was like, no, we got to get everybody out of the buildings, because there was a buildings attached to the one that exploded. And when I tell you everybody thought this thing was terrorist, you know, because of the crazy world we live in.
Of course.
I smelled the gas. I knew to get everybody, you know, out of these buildings. So there was me and another African-American police officer just joined the force, and I will give it to the plantation police department, not just him, but he was on it too. So we ended up evacuating everybody out of the buildings. There was people bleeding. And when I tell you, it's amazing, nobody died. It's amazing.
I honestly can't get over that.
Yeah. I mean, it destroyed. I mean, you know,
by the grace of God.
Yeah, they got Maseratis in the parking lots that's leveled, you know, pieces of the roof through the windshield. Just, I mean, a lot of, you know, property damage. But to like 21 people were injured. There was a couple of them that were kind of severe, but they survived. The last I heard, it was still under investigation. But, you know, being there, everybody's like, you know, calling into the media saying, oh, terrorist bombing and all that. It wasn't, you know, it was natural gas. It was clearly natural gas. But, yeah, that was our event.
Wow. There.
And what, this was like in the early afternoon?
This was about 11:30
in the morning.
Yikes. Did it affect your ears?
Not really. I was inside my vehicle.
Okay.
But, you know, there was so much energy behind this explosion. I mean, it you know, luckily I was in my vehicle, but if you look around, like a picture, I'm going to show Bob later. If you look around my vehicle, everything's on it, but my vehicle wasn't touched.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's miraculous.
Right. So, you know, it was, you know, my main thing was, you know, I need to call Jennifer. I need, because, you know, me and her talk probably 100 times a day, right? So if I don't check in with her, because I do, the business I'm in is a dangerous business, and she don't want me hands-on anymore. She's like, let the workers do it. I don't want you doing it.
But I thought you were talking about poker. I was like, getting shot?
Poker's a dangerous job.
Do you have to teach him poker face and everything?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Not making light. I'm sorry. But, yeah, I'm just glad you're okay. But that's, you know, a lot of people got flattened on their butts, I'm sure. I was just thinking about the guy that jumped through the bar roof in Miami. That was such a shock for me, but it's nothing like that.
What was that?
1984.
Jumped through a roof?
Oh, on the Palmetto Expressway, if you ever happen to go down that way.
I do.
At the 103rd Street exit of the Palmetto, if you're going like down toward Kendall. Yeah. There, it used to be a Sheraton. You can't miss it. It's a big, I don't know what it is now. But it was brand new, and it was one of the last cocaine cowboy. It was called Rick's Bar, and it was huge, and it had live bands every night, and it was the place to be. And it was total Scarface. And I was a 23 and thin and tan and had waves of thick brown chestnut hair. And we made bank. There were 4 bartenders and 3 barbacks and 15 cocktail waitresses. And that's back when the waitresses, like bunnies, had to wear stilettos and fishnets and the tuxedo shirts with the red bow ties and all that. And we made so much money, but because it was all drug dealers and it was right
big
out of Scarface.
Tippers.
Oh my God, please. They'd be so wired by the end. We were open until 5 a.m. And then, you know, and it's like 5, and then the lights would be up and the place would be packed and these guys would be like, please. Literally on the bar going, one more Johnny Walker Black and Coke, please. And we're like, we're closed. And they'd put down a $100 bill and go, there you go. But the point is that it was the structure itself. It was the hotel, and then the food and beverage department was a side building. And it was a Friday afternoon. And I know a lot of people out there listening to the Bob Dean Show, yay, have heard the story 100 times, but it's a great story. And I was the opening bartender at 7 o'clock, and then the other 3 came on at 8. And it was Friday happy hour, so the crowd had gone, but there was still, it was a big, like kind of a circular bar, and it had you could hang the glass rack, the glasses over, and people could smoke inside, which they still should be able to at a bar at least. And it was a glass roof. And I think the guy was aiming for the roof. And he was a doctor. The backstory is that he was a doctor who's what he found out his wife was having an affair. And he checked in, and he just went up to his room and he opened the window and jumped. The thing about it is that Ilona, that was her name, she had this tray of drinks, and I was telling one of my fabulous jokes. And she was walking, and we hear this bang. And she stops and looks straight up like this. And then she looks at me, and we're all like, And then about maybe 20 seconds later, there's a second bang. And you know that, you know, the perforated, shock. You know, the ceiling panels that you can, like, move up like that. And then you can see where all the electrical and girders and all that shit is, right? The false roof. So anyway, this red fabric. So the bar was pretty full, but there was, you know, it wasn't crowded yet. There were a couple people on the dance floor. So it was a real calm kind of environment setting the scene. And that stuff just exploded, and all this dust, and people are at the bar like, what the hell? They're all covered in it. And I was young and limber, and I ran over and I jumped up on the bar, which now I'd have to be like, and because there was this red fabric, and I thought somebody had thrown a piece of furniture out of one of the windows. And what it was a guy's back, you know. And so I stuck my head up in the hole, and I'll never forget it. His legs were crisscrossed.
No detail.
And he had a toupee, and the toupee was sticking up like that, and his eyes were open, and they were rolled back in his head. And when I stuck my head in the hole, I was like real close to it, his head, you know. And I was holding on to the glass rack, and I was just like, and everybody's going, what is it? Because he has gathered around, and then his body weight shifted. And his legs came out, and they were just going, which created just pandemonium. Everybody was screaming and running and knocking each other down. And I mean, like in seconds, the entire giant room is clear, except for me and these legs. And I'm staring at the legs, and I was in shock. And I had never, ever had tequila. But I knew it was strong, and I climbed down off the bar, and I walked over while I'm staring at the legs, and I took a bottle of 1800 Cuervo, and I took the cork out, and I was like, I went like a water cooler. I saw these three big air bubbles go, and I put the cork back in, and I put it on the shelf, and then I walked back, and all the girls were in the back blowing up the balloons, right? And Susan, who used to be Susan Moskowitz, the cocktail lady, and we're kind of on the outs, but someday we'll make up. But we were roommates at the time. And,
please, Susan.
And
call him.
She won't. But anyway, I still love you. Anyway, so she goes, what? And I come back in, and of course I'm fucked up like that. And I sit down and I light up a cigarette, and she goes, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I go, some guy just jumped through the roof. And she's like, oh, shut the hell up. And they're laughing, and I go, no, this guy just jumped through the roof. And she goes, ugh. And so I hear her little high heels go, clip, 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 clip. She's running back, and she has her hands, and she goes, this guy just jumped through the roof. And I'm like, I told you.
That could also be why alcohol affected me more.
Oh, my God.
Because when you see something like that, it's like, I've heard somebody jump. I've heard him in bathroom.
Yeah, it was pretty tragic.
It's a real bad sound.
So anyway, on that note, how the hell have you been? It's so good to see you.
Yeah,
you guys look great.
Let's start it.
South Florida life has got. Well, now, exactly where are you in Lauderdale?
Well, I don't want to give my address.
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying. Not
Marshall,
you don't want.
Federal.
Yeah, because my friend Joan, who I wanted you guys to meet, Joan and Gary. Yeah. She's like, I'd love to meet them, but and she talks a mile a minute. We still got to get together. They're getting ready to retire and move to their home up in Sebastian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're not going to be there much
Where's
longer.
That?
Oh, yeah. They
about 2 hours north of Fort Lauderdale.
But, yeah, I hope that you guys get a chance to meet before they go, because they're just great, great people.
And I'm thinking of Florida moving there, too.
Everybody's moving to Florida from
now. I used to live in Florida.
Well, because can you still afford to live there? Because I know you can't afford to live here.
Where?
I mean, you guys might,
can
but
I sure. Oh,
in as far as, like, home prices and all that, I know it's a...
Oh,
it's reasonable. I mean, it's not like it was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Still...
Yeah, my friend, Clark, who you need to meet Clark and Dickie, my friend Clark and his wife, he is a native of Fort Lauderdale. And his folks, they live somewhere off of Federal. I mean, it's a great, you know, 60s neighborhood. They've got a ranch-style home, and it's on the water, you know, on a canal. And I think Clark was telling me that they moved from one to another house maybe 10 years ago, and I think that I don't want it. Their house is like quadruple good, you know, it's gone up like but half a million more plus in just a couple of years.
Yeah.
But that's what Clark and Dickie did. They lived here, and then when they wanted to start a family, They moved back to Plantation and had a beautiful home, and they had their three boys, and then they came back here.
Oh, they did?
After they, you know, and they bought a home in Agoura Hills, but he was like, you know, the areas that we want to live, he said, I'm going to go back to Florida and invest in a home, get the equity in that to come out here and live where I want because of the neighborhoods that are in town, you know, that sort of thing. It's just, it's so outrageous here. And even the fun, I was telling him in the car the other day, even the, like you're riding around like in Hancock Park or something, and even the fantasy of having a really cool house is just shot to hell in this town. You know?
I had a pretty big house when I lived there. I mean, yeah.
You lived in Hancock Park?
No, I lived in, Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like, yeah, I had a three-bedroom with a formal living and dining and a third of an acre and all that, and I think I paid $600,000 for it.
Not anymore.
I know.
I told you this before, I lived off of Griffin Road.
Yes, you did.
Right across from Tropical Acres.
And you miss it?
You know, I miss, that was a great time in the 80s. Like I said, I was young and thin and tan and partied a lot.
You're still young, thin, and tan, Bob.
Thanks.
Take those
contacts out. Right. But yeah, it was a great time to live there. And I told you, I worked at the design center and a gallery, and then I attended bar as well. But it was a great time because I living in Davie, you know, I'd go to the beach in Dania.
He lived in Davie.
I loved it. At that time, Dania, I don't know if they're, I think they were still fighting to keep that, what's that public beach? It was just like stepping back in time. If you go straight across Griffin Road and whatever the John Lloyd State Park or something like that, but
it's still open.
Yeah, what I'm saying. That was the great part about it because there was no growth.
Yeah.
You know, it was just all mangroves and there was like a hot dog stand. And that's where I'd go to the beach all the time. And then the club life in Lauderdale was great. And then I worked at Mark's Place, which was in North Miami at the time. So it was
good to be young.
Fort Lauderdale's investing a lot of money. You wouldn't even recognize it. The buildings are going up, skyscrapers left and right. They're really trying to make a change to Fort Lauderdale compete with Miami.
Yeah,
it's
Well, when I lived there, it was just at the end of when I first moved there. When it was still the place to go for spring break, and A1A was still two lanes. And it was just, you know, oh, my God, it was so
where
much
the
fun.
Boys
I cannot
are.
Believe I'm not dead or in a 12-step program. I can't.
Studio 54
you know?
Did that to me.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, anyway, what else is going on?
What do
you guys are just here? Are you just here for fun? Or no,
it's always just for fun. And to see you.
Thanks. It was a stroke of luck that I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, are they in town? Are they out of town? What's going on? So I texted you, and I was like, yeah, can you come and do the show? And I was like, so excited when you said yes. Yay.
Just landed when you called.
That's right. And I was like, I'm going to start texting. I could just see you with the baggage claim again. I was like, I'm going to just keep texting her just to be annoying. And then I'm like, nah.
That's
like,
okay.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because this is the problem I've been having about thinking about moving down. Is I only like to live in pre-war buildings, pre-World War II.
Oh, there's nothing like that for Florida.
And there's
there?
Nothing. Or it's
apartment
I'm looking
building-wise.
For an old cigar factory or something.
That'd
know?
Be nice. But there's, you know, they're really tearing down a lot of
I
stuff
know.
In Florida. And don't you think?
Yeah, but I think there's some. You she probably had a good chance of finding something.
You know what? Like, there's an area called like Tarpon Bend. It's
And
where Natasha?
Tarpon Springs.
I love Tarpon Springs.
No, Tarpon Bend though is a
that
neighborhood
was
in
house.
Fort Lauderdale
mm-hmm.
by the train tracks, and there's a lot of cool old buildings.
Well, see, I like
redone,
that.
But they're still old.
Yeah.
And have like that charm to
it. I loved Victoria. Was it Victoria Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
Because yeah, right near where.
When I quit college. And that was basically, you know, because everybody knows that I'm out of the closet now. And if you got a problem with it, keep it to yourself. If you bring it up to me, I'll kick the crap out of you.
They've been trying to get you back in.
Well, I'm serious, man. You know what? I hit that shit for a long time. And the whole point of me going into that is I quit college and moved to Fort Lauderdale because the restaurant that I was working at, you know, I needed to get away from Nashville because Nashville was going to come from a very Republican background and blah, 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 blah. And it's all good. And I was afraid about my family and my buddies and all that sort of shit. And they were all the ones, like, you know. But it doesn't matter. So I packed my car and split. And with my buddy David Clanton, who you guys need to meet. I told you, remind me of him. And his son is the number one golfer in the world for his age group. He and his wife live in, oh my God, you got to hook up with these guys. He and his wife, Rhonda, they live in Miami Springs? No. What is it? Real nice, ding dong.
Sorry.
It's a real nice.
Come in.
Just shut it
up. But where was I going with that? Oh yeah, he was living in Nashville. We were roommates, and We lived at the Ancon. The first place was the Ancon Apartments off of Federal Highway. And there was four guys, and it was a dump, and it was right off Federal Highway. The prostitutes would bring their Johns, and did I tell you that?
Yes.
Oh my God, I forgot. And they'd bring, and they'd park, and there were four of us, and we'd rotate: two guys in the bed, one guy on the sofa, and one guy on the floor. And it was like that's how we did it, because you know we were just kids, and you know. But then there's no point to that story except you got to meet these guys.
That's why I always date guys named John, but I never get paid.
But I mean, the thing about it is that like they'd leave the cars idling, and of course the windows would be open. So I'd go out there, and the guys would be getting like, and I'd be like, "Hey, get out of my parking lot!"
See, I think it still goes on in Portland.
Oh, I'm sure. Waterdale. Before I forget, we want to plug at Cafe Nilo, which is closing, Poisonous Members, which is Dave Anger, who's been a guest with his lovely wife, Leslie Catwoman, here on The Bob Dean Show. Yay. Yay. Along with Louis LaCava, who is our expert on, what do you call it?
Gangsters.
And he's got that mold of John Dillinger's face.
Yeah.
Oh, with the bullet hole in it.
That's right. Okay, so anyway, Louis's lead singer. So this is Poisonous Members. They're going to be at Cafe Nila.
And Live Nude. That's Dave.
And Live Nude on.
You can have Live Nude at my house, too, though.
Kind of. <yeah. laughs> Punk rock, baby.
And then I was going to do this, but I'm going to wait because you cannot do this together.
What?
A play I saw last night.
You weren't in it?
No, I was not in it because it was about Anne Frank, and it's too sad. I just know how it ends. But it's at the...
You were the one in the audience going, "She's in the attic,
Museum of
right?
Tolerance."
No, that was...
yeah, right. That was, and I'm up there making all kinds of noise. It's at the Museum of Tolerance, and it's playing till August 5th, and I first didn't want to go because it's a sad... But it is so well done, and the girl is so wonderful in it that you really should go see it, and it's lovely.
Well, if you'll go back, then we'll go and see it again.
Yeah, it's very good.
And that, just so everybody knows, that we're not making fun of Anne Frank, what Dennis was just referring to is there's an episode of The Golden Girls where they're doing the community playhouse, and Blanche is going to audition for something, and Rose is talking about this woman, you know, we'll just call her Sophie Jones, who gets the lead every year. Nice. And Dorothy's like, "Oh my God, she's just terrible. Remember last year in The Diary of Anne Frank, the whole audience is yelling, 'She's in the attic! She's in the attic!'"
I hope we said August.
Anyway.
Oh my God.
Okay, so Jennifer Diamond, author of Waking Up Psychic, and what's your second book? I had them to bring into the show, and I left. Top 50 Psychics and Waking Up Psychic, your two books. You have anything else in the works?
I do, but we've been a little busy with traveling. But I do. I'm working on a third book.
Excellent. Yeah. Is my mom here today? If you don't mind me asking, because the last few times you've been on, my mom's popped in, and my mom and my sister were here last time.
No, your mom is not here. Well, I mean, she could be here if you want her to be, but I didn't see her right away like I did last time.
Yeah. Well, that was cool when you did that. You're like, and I was like, my first thought was, I'll never be able to again.
No, but there's a guy.
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing I think when people die.
There's a guy here today?
Yeah. When you start talking about the drinking and maybe back hurts and...
His name isn't Bill, is it?
He's telling me you got to do something different. Start work. He started laughing. You got to work out. Tell him he has to work out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What, can you give me a description of what he looks like? Because my dad was real good looking, too. My mom was beautiful. My dad was a good looking man.
Is he tall?
5'11", maybe.
This guy seems tall and tan to me, but he said that you need to.
And he's laughing. Because that's just it. Is that I go to physical therapy and they give me all these exercises to do, and I haven't been really religious about it because it hurts to do them. But I know I got to do them. Okay, a tall, tan guy's laughing at me because I'm lazy. Who could it be?
I work out in the pool, and you should try it. I mean, with weights and everything, and it's much faster.
It could?
Yeah, I see.
10 minutes already? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let her.
Wow. Could be alive. He's tan, good looking, and
I said it's George Hamilton.
And he could be alive if that's my brother.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be. If he's tall, and he's laughing, and he's tan, it's my brother Greg.
Oh, okay. Well, mm-hmm.
He's cool as shit. And
he knows you don't work out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
he's great.
My brother, we're like this, but we're polar opposites.
Right. So yeah, he would never tell you to to your face about working out.
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
He's a direct.
He's nice.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. He is international director of marketing for the Circle K Corporation.
Really?
Yeah. He's a big wig.
I had fun with him on the show that
time. Yeah. He's awesome, and he travels. Well, he's actually going to be spending more time. He and his wife Rachel live in Charlotte. That's his base, but he's been spending a lot of time in Asia. Because a Circle K opened everywhere in Asia. And yes, I said it. So call me a racist. I don't care. Oh, sorry, Sam. I apologize. I was just kidding. Well, remember when Greg said that he was like Vietnam and I was like Cambodia? Because Vietnam is beautiful and intelligent and successful. And then Cambodia is like the step.
I heard that's beautiful, too. Though.
Well, I'm sure it is. So I apologize if I offended anybody.
But I'm Vietnamese.
All right. I certainly didn't mean to hurt any feelings. But anyway, the point is that there's a lot of growth and success, and that so his corporation is opening up.
That's great.
Yeah, he's cool.
Fantastic. But the best part is that when they called his wife, and she didn't even know where he was. Yeah. She was in North Carolina or whatever, and where do they live? North Carolina?
They're in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte. And he was here on the show, and she goes, do you know where my husband is?
Well, they're building another house, and Greg was showing me some pictures. It's pretty cool. And I want to go and visit because I have two new nieces. Greg has four great children from his first marriage, and I still like my sister-in-law quite a bit. And blah, 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 but I have two nieces great nieces that I haven't met yet. And I want to go and visit, but it's like because of the stupid pain. And then it's just pain in the ass because, I mean, you know, to fly
literally
to the, it's a freaking 6-hour flight. And you got to have, like, when you guys come, you prepare and you've got time. You know, if you go for 5 days, it's a full day of blah, blah, wah, wah, wah. It's probably my brother laughing.
Yeah. But he's in Charlotte. I took trains when I lived on the East Coast everywhere.
You were going to ask about the future of the restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Do you foresee anything about Wolfgang's opening up or anything like that? Because we still don't know what's going on. They're still looking around and.
Yes. If they do, and it's still not, like, for sure if they do, it's obviously, it's going to be in a different location.
Yeah,
and
that's what's going on.
The reason they haven't talked about it is because they're trying to find, like, the right location. Because they know if the places that are available right now
mm-hmm.
probably won't have the same draw that one had. You know, they're low.
It's
the regulars, I should say.
Yeah,
they
know.
Never do.
Right?
And that's going to, that was, it, you know, we were also burnt out. I was super burnt out because I'd, 9 years without a decent vacation. And, it's like, I'm like, I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to go to work today. And it wasn't the people or anything. It was just, I was burnt out. And now after I'm like, oh man, I'm so refreshed per se. And it was such a great gig. It was a great gig and the customers were.
The food was good.
The coolest bar in Beverly Hills, no doubt.
I think they might get something like at the last minute where somebody goes out, closes or moves or whatever, and they get it at the last minute.
Well,
different location.
Yeah, because they're looking for something smaller. I don't know what the deal was because the
company. That was too
big. Oh, it was huge.
And, did they take the toilets?
I don't know. Those toilets were great.
Toilets.
The Toto. Toilets.
Yeah. They were well trained.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, it was just a huge place. But it was, and I miss Juan and Nikki. Well, Nikki is the only person that I see because we're tight. And we went to see Juan at that new place that's opened up, and then Sasha, and the gang and the regulars were terrific. But and Seca, have you seen her yet?
Of course.
She's
times.
So cool.
Yeah.
I just love her.
Yeah.
Hi, Seca. She needs to come on the show too.
She gets, nervous. No.
So does Ava.
Really?
I know. I don't get it because, man, she's funny.
She is funny.
We belly laugh.
Do you, because I've been yakking about everything. Is there anything you want to bring up? Because we're running out of time already.
God, there's so much to bring up.
Well, this is no big deal because you're going to be back in we'll just do another show.
I won't be here.
Do we have time for a little Just Jump? Yay! Because we hadn't played in a while. You remember how to play Just Jump?
I'm suicidal. Should I really be playing this?
This is Amy Vanderbilt's 1957 Etiquette Guide. And Mr. Olson reads the panel a question about etiquette, like, you know, should you use a hanky when you pick your nose at a cocktail party? And then we have to come up with what
not
we hope.
You should pick your nose at a cocktail party.
I think you should just use one of those hair cutter things and stick it in
there. Or a swizzle stick.
You know, those hair trimmers, the nose trimmers.
Okay, you got a question for us, sir, Mr. A?
Just jump.
Forgot to ask you to introduce it. I pushed her.
I live in a residence hotel and wonder whether I am supposed to tip the elevator starter after I have been here for a few months.
Yes.
Yeah.
A resident in a hotel usually tips the elevator men regularly, giving him $1 a month, approximately, and remembers the starter, too, at regular intervals.
A dollar a month was a lot then.
No, but I was going to say, when was that written?
This is 57. Okay. 60, yeah. 70 years ago. Okay, wait. What's an elevator starter? I mean, I thought...
I guess it's... Remember they used to have the guy that would be in the elevator running
right.
It?
That's... That,
I think that's a starter.
Elevator guy. They had him in Saks till like...
Yeah.
A long time.
Sixth floor, yeah. Ladies lingerie.
Right.
I know. I can't believe it because I wanted to go get a job there, but... In an elevator.
You know what? Before... we went to... I was in my first mall in years. We went to, where was it? The Burbank Town Center to pick up this watch that my dad gave me for Christmas in 1975. Oh. Because nobody repairs Timex Electroluxes anymore except this really cool place. And I can't remember the name of Timeland or something. But it was a really cool place. But we were in the Burbank Mall. And there's something that just didn't sit right. I kept looking around. Because there were people in it. I mean, most malls are empty now, you know. Maybe 1 in 10 people was staring at their phone. I was so impressed. I'm like, hey, that's what it is. We were eating these Philly cheesesteaks in the food court. Yeah. And people were talking and laughing and walking, and nobody was like, you know. That's neither here nor there. Okay, so question. Another one, please. Aren't you glad you're here? Because here I am.
What do you do with ticket stubs? Is it necessary to hold on to them until the end of the show?
Yeah.
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to. I think the thing was, like, if you have to leave the theater... Or if something, I think if like if something happens, if you're talking about like a movie,
depends on how much pull you have,
and also if you're in SAG, because then it's a tax write-off.
But I don't think that's what they're asking, honey. I think
I know, but I'm just
the kind that you girls used to put in your memory books with hair and stuff, right?
I didn't.
Did you have those? And you put ticket stubs and shit like that?
No, I wish I had.
I thought y'all did that
because I had all the laminates from Live Aid. I had every single laminate from every act.
Oh yeah.
God, I could have sold that shit on eBay. I mean, they didn't have eBay then, so what are you going to do? To me, it was just plastic in the way.
Do you still have them? Oh wait, we didn't get the answer. What?
Okay, let's get it.
Yes, you hold on to them even after you are seated. Someone else might dispute your right to the seat. Or if you are going out on intermission, you are sometimes required to show them before getting back into the theater. If you are entertaining at the theater for business reasons, it is important to keep the stub as a record for tax purposes.
She's probably talking about the legitimate, like, Broadway theater, not like the Cineplex.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, I thought it was a movie.
Yeah, 45 Cineplex.
Yeah.
There is one thing. You watch Netflix?
Yes.
Oh, you guys do? Okay, have you seen the movie Love on Netflix?
Yes.
No.
You saw? Okay, you have to watch it. And then we can discuss this.
All right, well, we'll watch it.
No, you have to watch it.
I'll watch it.
I watched it the other day. You have to watch it. It's
Love. It's just called Love, right?
It's called Love.
Well, I'll watch it tonight.
Watch it tonight. We're going to discuss it.
We'll discuss.
Great. Now I know why she wanted me to watch it.
All right, cool. Last night.
Plenty of stuff to talk about.
All right, cool.
Cool.
Because that stupid Orange is the New Black, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. When I say stupid, it's because it sucked us in, you know? And it's been on for how many seasons, right? So we watched one, and it was like crack.
It is.
We were watching it from 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, like we'd wake up and go, put it on. And we'd watch it, you know, over and over and over. And Lorraine Toussaint.
So scary.
Yeah. The one who, did you watch Orange is the New Black or are a fan of it?
I watched.
You'll learn how to make hooch in your toilet. Which is
well, Lorraine Toussaint played the woman. I don't want to tell you what happens, but she was a real bad. She was the African-American woman that came in and she was real bad. Well, she was supposed to be on the Bob Dean Show. Yay! Because she's in, you know, she her husband, she and her husband Michael Tomlinson. He's this big banker in Beverly Hills, and they unfortunately lost their beautiful Malibu home in the fires last year. But she is a stunning, I think, stunning African-American actress. She's so talented. Google her. And she's been, her career is wonderful, and she's got a new show out. But when she was in town last time, she was going to do one of the Oscars. She was going to try and come on the show, so hopefully we'll be able to have her on
at some
point.
She is so scary on the show.
Yeah, she is. She's brilliant. She's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I've met her several times at Wolfgang's, and she's, you know, she's a talent. But what was the point about that?
Oh, yeah, Netflix. About the show Netflix.
Love.
We'll watch it. I've been watching a lot.
And The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, do you ever watch that?
No.
God, it's hilarious, man. Really? It's a period piece. I can't remember the actress's name, but she's it takes place in 1958.
I'll watch it. I
like the
film. Love.
I want to.
We'll discuss.
I watched a few other ones too after watching that because they pulled in the same sort of thing. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. It
is. I'm in a mood, you might say.
401. You guys got a split. Listen, I'd like to thank you all for episode 78. Yay! Of the Bob Dean Show. Yay! Yeah. And thank you. And Sammy, we were looking at the numbers, and I have no idea what the hell she was talking about because she is the brains behind the... somebody texted me. She's the brains behind the production of this show. Thank you. But we've got like 20,000 downloads collectively. Yay! Which is pretty cool. So we need to start making some money. I'll send us... just put cash in an envelope like Soupy Sales told those kids to do and mail it to P.O. Box.
For his sciatica.
For my sciatica treatments, y'all. Let's see. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to come see us again. We'll do it again. Kathy, thank you. Let's see. What else? I guess that's really about it. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah. Thank you.
And what's your daughter's name again?
Dior.
Thanks, what Dior. She's on the other side of the door. Yeah, she's a cool kid.
I love that.
What is she, 12, 13?
She's cool.
She's
going
to be a tall, model-esque gal. She's already beautiful, just like her mom.
She might be able to beat you up. She's a karate star.
Is she really?
Good for her.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
She, you know, seriously, you guys, I need to hook you guys up with David and Rhonda, you know, to meet them. They live in, what is it, Miami? It's... the really, really nice area off the Palmetto Expressway.
Miami Shores.
Not Miami Shores. I used to live in Miami Shores. I love Miami Shores. Not Miami Springs. Miami. It used to be all dairy, and now it's all suburbs. But he's got his own business, and he's just a really cool guy.
You talking about Miami Gardens?
Is that it? Miami Gardens?
It might be Miami Gardens.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a real, real super nice area. Right. But, yeah, he's a real go-getter, and his lovely wife, Rhonda, was with Delta for years, and you'll just love him. And the point is that they've got their son, Luke, is about her age. And then their daughter, Rachel, who lives in, she used to live in Beverly Hills. She's downtown. She's like 22, and she's a model and a photographer, and she's stunning, and she's cool as hell. And she's also been a guest on the Bob Dean Show. Yay! So when we go, I'll hook you up. You can Facebook David. I hope you'll do that because, I mean, I say this over and over again, for being such a douchebag, I've got great friends. And that's it for episode 78. Thanks,
he
y'all.
Is a douchebag.
And I'm sorry about the remark that I made, everybody. Okay, love y'all. Thank you for listening. Bye.